flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Missed by Steph on the flip. Rebound by Christie.
Let it
Here's
go,
Kyrie
Pat.
Irving.
Let
it go, Pat. Here's a gas. Gas.
Thank you, Kyrie, for bringing some joy to our lives. Good morning, DFW. Great to have you in. Sean and RJ on a thirsty Thursday here in the 6 a.m. Club. And we apologize in advance, or at least I do. I know many people were looking to hear the joyful voice of Sean Sharif this morning. Or perhaps Ralph James, Gaylord Choppies. But they are not in the building today.
All praise to Allah.
Thank you, Sean.
My favorite drop.
We do have Bobby. We do have Pepe. At some point, we'll get Carter Freeman. We are live on Twitch and YouTube. And I'm Eric Chiafalo of the G-Bag Nation. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. I will say, before diving to Mavs here, did you get any sort of a pep talk from the bosses about filling in this week?
About like just being careful because of who I'm dealing with.
Yes.
No, actually,
did you hear it, Peyton, when we were walking out of the meeting on Monday?
Yeah, when you said, "Oh, get ready for the dumb button," and Spittle kind of just put his head down.
No. Spittle started it. Gavin goes, "I said, hey, we got Eric both days, Thursday, Friday, right?" And they said, "Yep." I said, "Okay, cool." And then Gavin goes, "Yeah, and just let's make sure we're doing things the right way." I told him, "Well, don't worry." I said, "Because if all else fails, we have Peyton's judgment on the dump button."
Yeah, that's right.
And that's when Gavin hung his head like, "Oh, great.
We are in good hands."
So this might be the last 2 days. Choppy, of course, out on bereavement with Ralph Sr. Being honored today or remembered today at his funeral. I'm going to be heading out after this and going and doing that. And then Sean's just being lazy. He just didn't want to come into work.
Ooh. I thought he was hopping on a bird to go find paradise.
He's actually taking vacation.
Go sit in some sand or something.
Yeah, but that's I like to instead talk about it as if he's just being lazy. I think that's better. This is theater of the mind, Eric.
Yeah,
that's what
you're right.
About.
And it's really on brand for Sean. You know, he's just not always buttoned up. He's not maniacal about his work, and we appreciate that about him. We're actually just pre-gaming for the payload at 6:40, and then that'll be the point where Peyton completely checks out for the remainder of today's show and tomorrow's show.
Yep.
And so we're just trying to get the most out of him over the course of the next 30-plus minutes.
I don't think they considered that aspect of when they're like, well, Peyton will dump anything they say. I don't think they thought, wait, this is Thursday, and then Friday, we're only going to get 40 minutes of work. He hates that bit, by the way.
7 a.m. is going to be a little touch and go for the rest of the day.
Do you hear that heavy sigh?
It's a little dramatic.
He hates the, like, oh, Peyton checks out after the payload. He hates that bit.
What's your confidence meter in your payload this morning?
Oh, 10 out of 10, boys. It's a good one.
How big is it?
It's a great one. It was so good, I didn't even send an email to y'all yesterday.
Yeah, I noticed.
We did notice.
I was like, wait a minute, no Sean, no RJ? I don't need to send an email. I'm good.
Oh, did you at least provide us with the break times?
Does it look like...
No, okay, no. He did not. He did not put the... See, this is what he does. He writes the break times down with Sean and RJ are here. He will not write them down if they're out.
You know what, Peyton? Good. We're here to have a good time, okay? We're not here to be stressing out, worried about break times. We're here to bask in Kyrie Irving's dominance.
Do you guys do break times on the G-Bag Nation?
No, we do not. We fly by the seat of our pants, and then we look up and the show's done, and we high-five each other, and we go home, and we forget it ever happened. Then we wake up the next day, and we do it again.
Imagine you after shows are like Ricky Bobby after he prays in Talladega Nights where they're like high five. He goes, did that feel good? Yeah, it felt good. It felt good.
It did feel good. Well, it feels good to be with you guys right now. I mean, the sanctity of a 6 a.m. club on a thirsty Thursday with Robert and Peyton. This is fantastic for me. The alarm clock hit hard this morning and it was touch and go there for a second, but we made it. Bobby brought breakfast.
I did.
Already shoveled in how many McMuffins?
Just a bite so far, but I mean I was ready to finish the whole thing.
You're in your bag almost as much as Kyrie Irving was.
He was 42 points last night. My favorite big charge.
My favorite though is the bagel in the assist column. He's like, dude, yeah. I am going to get the buckets here. Okay, it doesn't matter how it's going to happen. Najee Marshall, you want to pass up a wide open corner three? No problem. I'll make it more tough and I'll nail it. I'll hit some free throws. What was it, like three threes in a row? He's doing the Steph Curry thing right in front of his face.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Oh, I saw Oso Odighizuwa on Instagram last night. He was sitting courtside and he was in awe filming that third three. He's like, bro's on fire. Look at this, three threes in a row. He was great. He was fantastic. Here's the only concerning thing. Doesn't it feel like he's got to be that guy every night if you want them to win ball games now?
Well, certainly.
Because you've thinned out your roster so much.
Yeah, with the construct right now, I mean, they were playing with 10 guys last night. They have basically no bigs. You're giving 33 minutes to a guy named Kessler Edwards, who, by the way, was plus 14 last night. Had a couple of nice plays when they're like just doubling Kyrie, and they're like, Kessler, you're gonna set the screen, you're gonna catch the ball, and then just do the right thing with it.
Does Kessler Edwards sound more like a British actor, like a really buttoned up British actor, or does he sound more like a spoiled brat, like college student who goes to Stanford and like doesn't understand
that
rules?
That makes a lot of sense to me. I also could see him being like one of these. Like these country guys now, they just go, it's just their first name or just their names. Like he's Kessler. We're going to see Kessler Edwards tonight.
Kessler at the Kessler.
He's doubling down on the worst first name in the history of basketball.
Well, we've got an issue though, Eric, because like we said, he is going to have to be that guy for forever. It feels like Kyrie, because it was like, oh, well, you know, they've got Anthony Davis. And so, I mean, they'll get some sort of contribution there. They've got Max Christie, who they are, to be fair, getting some really positive contributions from, but otherwise this has been a pretty disappointing stretch to get the three-quarter observance of Anthony Davis before he goes down, and then no official injury updates from the Mavericks since. But then yesterday, cut 10 Peyton, we did get the AD injury update secondhand from everybody's current favorite Mav reporter, Tim McMahon.
Obviously, the Mavericks desperately need all the good news they can get, and that is the expectation is Anthony Davis will not need surgery to treat this adductor strain. It's a rest and rehab type of situation. Now, he's going to miss significant time. Obviously, going into the All-Star break, he's going to miss a chunk of the schedule coming out of the All-Star break, but the anticipation is that Anthony Davis will be back in a Mavericks uniform at some point this season.
So, not the worst news, because the thought was they were going to be shut down he was going to be shut down for good, but certainly going to be gone for a long time.
Yeah, you're just going to be in this weird gray area of is he back? Is he not? You're going to lose plenty of games along the way. Last night was awesome. So glad they were able to pull that one out. But there's a part of you that's like, man, if he's going to be banged up in this way, and who knows how long it's going to be lingering, you're like, man, they need to capitalize on being able to have one of their top picks.
Yeah.
Like they have their first round pick this year and next year. And then after that, it's we'll basically see you in 2031 or whatever.
Yeah, for that sweet 30th overall pick that the Lakers are going to send you after they win a fourth title in a row with Luka. Although, I don't know, you know, last night, and we'll get into his performance a little bit later. Last night, Luka couldn't beat the Jazz. Bunch of turnovers, bunch of fouls. Maybe Nico knew what he was doing, Eric. I'm curious. So everybody's heard us talk about this
for even suggesting that.
Everybody's heard
trust
us
in Nico,
and it's Sneeko.
I don't
by
like.
The way.
Sneeko. I don't like that drop. By the way, Peyton, that's a new drop he just debuted, and I don't like it. You gonna want to play it again?
Trust in Nico.
that's probably yeah. I don't
like that one on fire.
Yeah, I don't like that one at all. So everybody's heard us talk about this over and over and over again. We've covered it from every angle, but obviously some people schedule, we know most people, they tolo, they turn it on 6 a.m. They're hanging out all the way through the fan after dark. Then, you know, KNC snacks come on and they go, all right, I already heard that. I don't need to hear that again. It's time to go to bed. But for those that have their schedule broken up and maybe they're more of an afternoon listener, or they're maybe more of a morning show listener, maybe somebody doesn't have the opportunity to listen in the afternoon because of their work schedule or whatever else, and they have not heard your thoughts or the G-Bag Nation thoughts on this. What have you guys been dealing with in terms of fan reaction to the Luka thing? And in general, your perspective, is this something where it's like you guys are demanding Nico get pushed out like now, or is it just still, are you in a mourning phase, a very solemn, like, I can't believe he's gone sort of phase of the whole thing?
Yeah, I think that's where we're all at. Broadus was the only one that was sort of from the jump kind of signing off on it. The rest of us were all brought to extreme anger, and we were dealing with the shock and the frustration. But yeah, I think that I don't want Nico to be gone right now, because I want him to have to sit and marinate in this. There's a part of me, it's tough because you're watching the Mavs win last night and it feels so good, and you're like, okay, like you have that fandom hope of just your team wins, and that's a good thing. Right. But there's also that feeling of I kind of love that Anthony Davis came out on fire and we got 2.5 quarters of it. And then I hope we never see him again for the rest of the season.
You need to be punished.
I want Nico to have to sit and marinate in this complete disaster.
It's felt so much like the PR response from it. We've talked about this so much this week. The PR response has almost been worse than the trade at this point. Mm. Like the trade was awful. And yet they continuously have fumbled the response to it.
They're so out of touch. I mean, yeah. It makes sense. You have a GM who's never been a GM before. Mm-hmm. And you have a new ownership group that's never done this before in sports. They're just out of touch. They have no understanding about what actually matters to the fan base and how their customers matter a ton to them.
Well, and it feels very much like, so we've talked about, Sean made this analogy the other day. That it feels like, you know, in a casino, like they operate it like they do businesses. Like they don't understand, like, all right, it's different though. It's sports. Like you can't operate it the same way. So whenever you get somebody who's counting cards in the casino, what do? You grab them by the collar and you throw them out and you're not allowed back in our casino.
From my experience, yes, that's what they do.
Yeah. So that's what Patrick Dumont and the Mavericks are doing with their fans now, is that you come in. You don't play by their rules. They grab you by the collar. They throw you out. Now, last night, a little better, apparently. I didn't see as many just mass tossings, you know, throwing them out the building. In fact, our guy, Kid Muse, who we interviewed yesterday, yesterday or Monday, I don't know, 2 days ago, who we interviewed and talked about him getting thrown out, he actually ended up having a conversation with Mark Cuban. He said he wanted to be heard. Mark Cuban did reach out. He was apparently courtside last night at the Mavericks-Warriors game.
I did see that. Shout out to Mark Cuban for trying to make it right.
But again, that's Mark Cuban. He kind of, as much as everybody hated him, he did understand the optics a little better. Like, he understood fan engagement, and he's the one who started the whole MFFL and the whole, the AAC maniacs. We're going to call him that. And, like, he always had these, he knew the way to reach out and connect, and understood that that's his base. And you never just anger your base, and you never attack your base. And they've still not figured this out. The Nico Harrison, Patrick Dumont, that coupling right there has not figured this out. And they've continued to go after people. And so I think there's so many people who are like, I want to like Anthony Davis. I want to like Max Christie. In fact, we see that a lot on the fan text. People talking about Max Christie's awesome. He's been fun to watch. But you're conflicted because it's like, well, I don't even want to necessarily say anything too nice about them, not because of anything about Max Christie. I don't want them feeling like they did anything right here.
I know, that's the tough part.
You don't want to give them an inch and have them take a mile. You don't want to endorse anything they do right now because of how they've handled things. It's like that the little sheet you see in factories or whatever, of like, it's been X amount of days without incident at this workplace or without an accident on the work floor. And that thing has stayed at zero since they traded Luka. They've not been able to put up a, it's been one day since we haven't effed something up here at the AAC or at Mavericks headquarters.
I'm glad you brought up Max Christie, though, because I do want to just kind of like, I wish I could just, like, nobody else could hear, but I could just sort of whisper in his ear, like, Max, you're killing it.
I love you.
And I really appreciate what you're doing.
I love you.
This whole thing sucks, but, like, you're a silver lining to all of this. You're so young, and you keep scoring 15 points or more, and you play defense, and you're not just a 3-and-D guy, Max. Max, you're more than that. That pull-up jumper was sick nasty last night. Thank you.
Just keep your head down for a little bit, buddy.
Just put the blinders on. We're going to get through this together.
But did you see last night the Knicks game? Did you see what happened?
Oh, I saw Jalen Brunson.
Oh, no. Did you see the other?
Well, wait. What happened? Other than Jalen Brunson, he had huge shots. They go to overtime. They score like 150 points. They win the game.
Yeah, Quentin Grimes last night in the game. 30 points, 9 rebounds.
Oh, my gosh. Of course he did.
But
I don't want to make this about Quentin Grimes.
No, but that's not about Quentin Grimes. That's about Nico. You know what I mean? Like it's still at the end of the day about Nico. Like, he said with the next trade, because he thought he was getting Kevin Durant. He goes, with the next trade, I'm going to win the fan base right back. That's literally what he told Brad Townsend. And it's like, the next trade was for Caleb Martin, who failed his physical.
Yeah, we can't.
And was 4 years older. What are we doing? Somebody last, I want to get the total right. B. Frank had tweeted this at Sean last night. I saw Sean retweet it.
This is B. Frank or Beef Rank?
B. Frank.
Okay.
Like, I'm being Frank. Or his name's like Bob Frank. I don't know. But he tagged Sean in the Quentin Grimes stuff, and he tweeted at him, Nico has gone from every trade turning gold to anything that can go wrong has. And that's the thing. Like, even the Quentin Grimes, Caleb Martin deal now. Like, that's one that you look at and just go, like, the hell were you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the whole thing is frustrating. But shout out to the Mavs for not throwing out any of their customers last night. That's a good thing. Did you see Mark Cuban actually get community noted on Twitter? he was like explaining the incident from the other night when fans got thrown out, and he went on this whole, I mean, it's paragraphs.
I did, yeah, it's an essay.
Don't do paragraphs on Twitter. Nobody cares, but the community notes do care, because he was basically trying to say that, like, whatever happened wasn't really what happened, and he was trying to explain himself, and then community notes say, Mark Cuban is clearly lying in this post. Here's a video of what happened where you can faintly hear the Fire Nico chant before he violated NBA rules through his use of foul language. So, tough sledding there, Mark Cuban. All right, we're just getting started here. The morning show, Sean and RJ will be back next week with the funerals today, right, Bob?
Yes.
You're going right here. You're boogieing over, and you got your jean shorts to wear to look good.
No, I'm going
to
wear the hoodie and the shorts, and nice. I'm just going to walk right in there.
All right, payload at 6:40, but coming up next, Bobby, Cowboys insider, has the 5 steps to shoddy success and why I think he's already hit the first one out of the park. That's next year on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're under 20 minutes to a Thursday payload opportunity where Peyton is alleging he's 10 out of 10 confident it's going to be hit out of the park. Oh, yeah. So expectations are high. We're looking forward to it. Bobby Belt, myself, Eric Chia, follow Peyton Russell, Carter Freeman, Twitch, and YouTube. Great to have you in on a Thursday Thursday. And now we talk a little Cowboys here, the success steps for old Shoddy. What you got, Bob?
Yeah, so this is something that we've been kicking around the last few days, or I've had rattling around and I've wanted to kind of go over, because there's a lot of skepticism about Brian Schottenheimer's prospects of being a success as the next head coach of the Cowboys. Although I will say, I don't know about for you guys, at least in the morning, we've all felt like things have calmed down a little bit, not just because of the Luka stuff kind of distracting from it, but it feels like, all right, Schottenheimer talked to the media, talked to fans, and then he's made different hires that they like. And it's felt like, to us anyway, that there's a slight bit of optimism creeping in on the Schottenheimer hire for fans. Have you guys felt like that?
Maybe. I think some
not nearly as much negativity. Some of the initial negativity has dispersed and like settled down and like, all right, fine, I'll give him a shot.
I think the optimism starts with kind of the staff that he's started to put together. Mm-hmm. Not even that we really know a ton about these guys, but just he's going, dipping into the college ranks. He's not just doing the snap your fingers, oh, I already know, I've known for a decade who my guys were going to be. They've been my buddies for forever, and so this is my coaching staff. He's clearly acknowledged, like, hey, I have a vision for what I want this to be, and I think he has a self-awareness to know that he's never done what it is that he wants to do in terms of building a cutting edge sort of, you know, modern offense, especially when it comes to the way you run the ball. And so, but I think he understands how important it is. And so he's trying to go get guys around him that can execute the vision that he has. So yes, I'm with you. The Cowboys process of all of this was awful.
Yep.
But he's doing the things right now, at least in terms of the way he's going about building his staff, that has given me some confidence.
Yeah, so that's the thing to me, is that I think you're right here that, look, whether Schottenheimer is a success or not is going to depend a great deal on how successful is he as a leader and a builder of culture. Like, that's how a lot of his evaluation is going to be tied to, less the X's and O's. It's definitely part of it, but it's going to be more about, all right, how are you in terms of it building this culture? Because that was clearly the pitch. You could tell the way when the Joneses were talking and the way Schottenheimer's talking, that was clearly his pitch to them is, I'm going to build a great culture, and that's what this team needs more than anything else. They've got players. They need somebody to teach them how to move as one. They need somebody to teach them, like, this is an NFL culture. This is a family that we're building here, and that's important. So if his entire program is built around that, that means nothing is going to work if he falls short as a leader. So I got five steps here, Eric, that are critical to Shoddy being a success in Dallas relating to those aspects. And some of this we can start grading now. Some of it is going to be just what's our confidence in him being able to do this. Number one, build an egoless staff. So this one appears to be off to a good start, but we've mentioned it before. Ego and insecurity in the staff were a big problem during McCarthy's time. McCarthy was always looking over his shoulder at Zimmer, Quinn, Kellen. It did breed insecurity, and I don't want to say resentment, but just it made things weird at times. Like Dan Quinn felt awkward here near the end. Like Dan Quinn himself felt like, all right, I should probably go, right? Because this feels weird. Like, it feels like he doesn't totally love me sitting here. Not that he has a problem with Dan Quinn directly, but that he doesn't love a former head coach who's now a hot head coaching candidate who Jerry Jones says, boy, he'd love to be the head coach of the Cowboys, Dan Quinn would. McCarthy doesn't love that sitting over his shoulder.
Sure.
When you look at the way that Shoddy's done things and the way that the kinds of assistants he's hiring, like you mentioned, Eric, this isn't just an old buddy. This is college guys. This is dipping into the college ranks and finding smart coaches that he thinks highly of, that he does, or that he's heard good things about, or going and finding this coach here, that coach there. You've got the college rehab or the coach rehab program on the defensive side of the ball in Matt Eberflus, which has been their MO lately, is go find a former head coach, make him the defensive coordinator. They've done it with their last several, Marinelli, Nolan, then you go to Dan Quinn, Matt Eberflus, Mike Zimmer. Like, they are all former coaches. It's a rehab program here in Dallas, essentially. So I think a big part of this is, are you willing to check your ego at the door and just say, I want to build the best staff possible? And it feels like so far he's been doing that.
Yeah, and Dak even alluded to it yesterday, some of the clips from the cancer thing that he was a part of, the event, and he mentioned one of the things that he's loving about the way Schottenheimer's going about this is he's the one that's really conducting these interviews with the assistant coaches.
Yeah.
He's the one that's grinding out these interviews to try and find who the best guy is.
Yep.
It's not just, again, it's not the usual, hey, I got a band of dudes that I've been coaching with for years, and this is what we do, and this is how we do it, and it's stubborn coaching, and we're just going to make it work.
Yeah.
This is a guy who's trying to advance himself and advance what his capabilities are, and he understands that he needs the help around him for guys who have done these things in the past. And so he's actually sitting through and trying to figure out who the best candidates are in these interviews. And I think that's pretty rare.
Yeah, he wants to build the best staff possible. And it's like, hey, my feelings or security be damned. Like, just come help us win football games. That's what I want. And that's something that I do think was missing at times with Mike McCarthy. Number two, enforce standards. And this sounds really basic, but if you want to build a healthy culture and a culture that can actually make a difference on the field on Sundays, then there has to be enforcement behind your standards. So if you tell people this is what it is and this is how we do it and where you need to be this, you need to be on time for this. There were times, did this happen with Garrett too? Garrett, McCarthy in general, that like, you would have a standard or there would be rules in place and it was like, well, it's a rule for that guy and not that guy. Or, oh, it's for this guy and not that guy. And if players are late for mandatory cutoff times, if they're missing meetings, if they're not taking practices seriously, then there has to be consistent discipline. And so standards without discipline to me are worse than no standards at all. Like, if you just don't have any standards and it's just kind of, you know, the Wild West, you can operate more under that, I feel like, than if you tell people this is a standard and then you don't do anything to enforce it. So to me, enforcing standards is going to be a big one. Sean has brought this up. I'm curious what you think. Sean thinks that's still a question about if Schottenheimer is going to be a disciplinarian. I get the sense that he is, and I know just from some of my experience around the team, I know how players talk about him as a disciplinarian. But is that something that you felt too, like, all right, he's still got to prove that he's not just their buddy, the player's buddy, that he's here actually to enforce discipline?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, because I think a lot of it starts from the top down. Like, Jerry, Zeke is showing up late for weeks. He's missing practice for weeks. I'm sure McCarthy wanted to do something about that.
Yeah.
But does he have the authority to do anything?
Yeah.
So I don't know how much of that is just sort of stripped from you, especially like you said, when it's certain players, some of Jerry's guys, big name guys, whatever. I don't know how many coaches could come in here and just completely have full ownership of this is the way that I do it. So I think there's an undercutting involved from Jerry that makes it difficult on anybody in this particular position.
Number three, don't let this be the end of your evolution. So Schottenheimer's evolution and growth in offensive philosophy, willingness to adapt to league-wide trends, it's all admirable. He's talked about some of the evolution. I know behind the scenes that was some of his pitch was, hey, I want us to look at some of the things that are successful around the league. Brian says it all the time, right? It's a copycat league. People steal from guys all the time. Play callers are thieves. They all steal from each other.
The best ones are.
Yeah. Now that you've got the job, don't settle in back into a comfort zone. Don't go, all right, well, let me do things my way again. Don't marry yourself to concepts that the league has said, we're done with those, and then eventually they pass you by. So have the willingness to self-scout and change when warranted. Be able to, again, check the ego at the door and say, I'm willing to do these things. Number four, this is just my own thought here. I want to see if you can get down with this. Bring back player captains. Mike McCarthy opted against having team captains. Instead, he had the constant rotation every week. You remember it was always different guys going up there. It was sort of a, hey, everyone gets a chance to be a leader. And then naturally, we'll build a team of leaders. I think you have to make it clear who are your leaders on your football team, because player leadership is as critical for culture as coaching leadership is to me.
Yes, yes. The players have to police themselves to some extent. So you got to have some rock solid dudes that, I don't know, four or five guys. I think that's definitely, the best way to do it. I thought it was weird that McCarthy went away from that.
Yeah.
And every week it's just some random dude like doing the coin toss or whatever. Like, I think there needs to be a stable of, hey, this is like my leadership council, and these are the guys that are going to help reinforce the things that I'm trying to get across to the entire team.
Yeah, you need a leadoff hitter.
Some guys have no business being any sort of captain role at all.
Yeah.
There's 53 dudes in the locker room. 40 of them probably have no business. Another five just need some time to grow into it. Mm-hmm. And then you have your top of the food chain kind of dudes that are like, hey, if we're going to be great, it's going to come back on how many of you guys are how much money are you guys making? What's the expectation of you guys to go out here and shoulder some of this stuff? You've got to carry it. And it means a lot more when a player comes into the locker room and has a face-to-face with another player about something that needs to get handled,
right,
as opposed to it's always the coach.
Yeah, 100%. Now, this is the last one's a little bit controversial. One vision. Now, I know there's a little bit of you got a bunch of yes men around you. People always are concerned with that, guard against that. But here's the thing. Schottenheimer and McCarthy, they did not have a united vision. And there were too many fractures with coaches and players. There might even be a case that Schottenheimer should have done things differently as an offensive coordinator than he did to fix some of those fractures. We talked about that the other day when we did the Jeff Ulbrich quotes from the Falcons. But this isn't about having yes men or being opposed to constructive criticism. But if you are going to get, it's the line that coaches use all the time in the NFL, 53 moving is one. That to get 53 moving in the same direction is incredibly difficult. If you want to get that, then you need those 53 and those coaches to have the same core beliefs. You need people who can challenge you, but everybody needs to ideologically be in line and understand in lockstep, this is what we're doing, this is what we're trying to do, because it will eventually destroy your process if you've got those fractures.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a no-brainer. And hopefully Schottenheimer being the one that is, seems like he's got the biggest role in bringing the coaching staff in. I imagine he's bringing guys in that are aligned, and you're always trying to push the envelope on things. We don't just want to settle on whatever it is that we do, so to speak, but that's part of the vision, is we're always looking to advance ourselves and evolve and get better. And yes, that's extremely important.
Yeah, if you're going to say you want somebody who's going to challenge the way you're doing the run game, but if your philosophy, your overall philosophy is we have to run the ball to have success, you need to make sure that you have coaches on your staff that also believe we have to run the ball to have success. And that's not about, again, yes, men. It's about you need to have the same core philosophy so you don't have those fractures. If you want to challenge the way that you run the ball and those sort of things, that's good to have. You want that. But overall, core beliefs need to be the same.
There it is, Inside the Star with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, live here in the 6 a.m. Club. And now it is time for the payload with Peyton Russell. That's next right here on The Fan.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It is Thursday, 6:40. You know what it is? The payload here. Eric's favorite segment on the show. Mm-hmm. Eric Schifalo, welcome to the load, man.
Hey, great to be here. This is supposed to be a pretty impressive load that you got.
Big load coming.
You've been setting the bar very, very high. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to seeing the contents.
Look, I just have one goal. You know, after this segment, my goal is for you, Eric, to be on all fours barking. I hope we can get there to where you're just howling away, you know, on Radio Row, man, because that was impressive. But it is the payload every Thursday at this time.
You'll be howling when you see those glass cutters of his he's got.
Hey. Better than Jay Glazers?
I don't know if they're better than the Glazes, but it's a 1A, 1B situation with you guys.
I think when I first showed up at Brass Tap, that's the first thing Eric said. They were on segment. He goes, oh, look, it's the glass cutter. It's Peyton showing up. It was cold outside, Eric. It was cold.
I think it was. Jacket. I thought it was a little balmy that day, and you were still... at attention. It was impressive.
Well, gentlemen, we all have wives, girlfriends, fiancés here. Valentine's Day plans tomorrow. Have we made that reservation? Do we even celebrate anymore? Is it do we think it's an overrated holiday? Not a holiday, I guess, but you know, a celebration.
It's crazy. I always thought it was like is it really this weekend? I thought it was the second Tuesday of February.
I'm gonna make you play that clip tomorrow, man, on Valentine's Day.
For a while, it was the second Tuesday of every February.
Valentine's Day is always on the Tuesday.
But you know, Groundhog's Day came up. Groundhog saw a shadow, so I moved it to Friday. Valentine's Day is tomorrow, Eric. Not Tuesday.
It's actually tomorrow, though. It is tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. 14th.
Okay. Yep. So it is the 14th.
Yes. Do you have plans?
I don't have like plans necessarily, but I did order something for my wife that probably won't come in time. And I just hope it comes in at some point this calendar year. I did the stupid thing where you click the link on Instagram because you're just so infatuated by what it is. But you're like, you know, it's a dangerous game. It's sort of a coin flip whether or not you're even going to get this product.
Yeah.
There's no chance you're going to get it in time. I paid the extra $10 for expedited shipping. So definitely not going to be here in time, but I've already forewarned my wife, like, hey, I really hope your gift comes in on time.
How many times have you guys used the excuse like you didn't buy a present in time? And then like, whether it be for a significant other or just a friend at a party or something, where then you go like, oh, I bought it. It hasn't come in yet.
Yeah.
I've used that a few times where handful. It's like, crap, I've not bought anything yet and I need to buy it. So
I've been that guy.
I just blame it on the U.S. Postal Service.
Yeah. See, I'm more of an earlier guy here, so I'll buy gifts like for Mackenzie's birthday. I had all of her gifts like 2 or 3 weeks before her actual birthday. Like, I just get out of the way. That way I can just wrap the presents, throw them in the corner of a room or closet, and just, you know, wait until her actual birthday.
The fact that you have the foresight on, I mean, that's impressive. The idea that you're actually wrapping the gifts as well. Are you a good wrapper?
No, not at all. Okay. I'm the guy that I use more tape than actual wrapping paper.
I've heard you on New Year's Eve. You're a good rapper.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we can play that audio. No, we can't play that audio.
I want to hear your Rangers rap from last year again.
Oh, my goodness.
Jonas fingers turned to dinger fingers.
Oh, man. Not again.
What was it? 3-time G-Bag of the Day, I believe, champ, or something.
Should have been five.
Guys, we start off here the payload with Carl Ravage. You know, some of us love him, some of us hate him, but he's ESPN play-by-play guy. You hear him on the College World Series. Also doing some men's basketball. He was calling the Alabama versus Texas men's basketball game Tuesday night, and he thought he had one of the all-time stats ever said on national television, and you can hear it right here.
So think about it. We know how dominant they were in the non-conference season, the SEC. They were 185-23. Since January 4 into Tuesday, the SEC teams are 82-82. It's not as if one team or two teams or three, they're 82-82. Like, there's been no ability to pull away. There's no dominant group of teams.
Carl was right. When every in-conference team plays each other, they will have a 500 record. Because if he had said something of, you know, oh, it's, you know, SC play, they're 40 and 20, you know, he would have been awful. He's not wrong. You know, he said the stat, it's correct. But, man, he...
Did anybody correct him live?
I don't think so. I think they, the color analyst guy just let him have it. But a lot of people on Twitter are having a field day about, like, well, he's not wrong. But, man, he, and he said it with confidence, too. He was cooking for a little bit.
Yeah, dude.
But he was confident there, but Carl Ravage, man, that's a tough one.
Stick to baseball, guy. Isn't Carl Ravage more of a baseball guy? That is absolutely outstanding, dude. You're right. The confidence, and that's really the key to just saying anything. You know, you can. Oh. I mean, just say it with some confidence.
Oh, I did it earlier. I thought the Sixers were playing against the Knicks last night. They were not. The Knicks were playing the Hawks. So I was like, did you see what happened in New York? somebody texted in there like, what is the Knicks Hawks game after the big grind? So I was like, I thought that was the Sixers.
Hey, you pulled Eric Erickson. No.
He's like, oh, I missed that.
Dang it.
Everybody missed it because they weren't playing each other.
Carl Ravage, man.
I like Carl Ravage, friend of the show.
So we'll talk baseball, men's basketball. We're going to talk a little soccer here. So the 2034 World Cup is in Saudi Arabia. And their ambassador spoke on LBC News the other day and has not pleased many Americans or other human beings on the face of the planet by saying there will be zero alcohol in the 2034 World Cup.
After you leave, you're welcome to, but at the moment we don't have alcohol inside.
When you say, you mean you have to go to a hotel? Presumably?
No. There's no alcohol at all.
So there's no alcohol. So the entire experience of the Saudi World Cup from the moment you get off the plane in your hotel, in the stadium, in the restaurants, in the coffee shops, will be alcohol-free.
Rather like our weather, it's a dry country.
Is that welcoming?
No, it's, you know, everyone has their own culture. We're happy to accommodate people within the boundaries of our culture, but we don't want to change our culture for someone else.
Okay.
I mean, really, you can't live without a drink?
Man, shots fired at Bobby there. Can't live without a drink.
What's Bratis doing about this?
All praise to Allah.
What's Brian doing to fix this dry Saudi Arabia situation? No, I'll tell you. Earlier when I said the name Kessler Edwards, I pictured the voice of that guy interviewed him.
Like,
I'm Kessler Edwards, BBC News. Like, play the interviewer. That's when I hear the name Kessler Edwards, that's what I think of.
After you leave, you're welcome to, but at the moment we don't have alcohol inside.
When you say, you mean you have to go to a hotel? Presumably.
No, there's no alcohol.
A hotel. Doesn't that sound like a Kessler Edwards?
Man.
Which, by the way, somebody just on the fan text that must have been listening back on the Odyssey app, 817 says, Kessler was the original name of Kramer in the Seinfeld pilot. I had no idea. He was originally named Kessler.
I'm glad they made Kramer's the switch. Kramer's better. Yeah, Kramer's way better. 254, go to HEB today, buy flowers. The price will double tomorrow. Just a little heads up.
One of the we did get a life hack from the 682. They said life hack, never go out on Valentine's Day, but 2 days before, it's never nearly as busy, and most of the time, ladies don't mind.
Yeah, you got to make sure, like, the dates on things have to be a bit fungible here. Your birthday's on a Tuesday. Okay, we're going to celebrate the weekend before or whatever, right? Let's not be married to that day. Now, it doesn't say that on Valentine's Day I'm not going to still give you the card or whatever, but the actual celebration portion of the proceedings, hey, let's be malleable with this a little bit.
Yeah, I actually got bailed out this Valentine's Day because, like, three or four months ago, my fiance agreed to babysit on this weekend. Some parents are out willing to pay big money, and she asked me, she's like, are you gonna be upset? I was like, oh, 4 months ago, no, I'm not gonna be upset, like, who cares? And now I'm feeling like, man, I'm gonna be like a single guy on Valentine's Day, you know, because you know, she's gonna be away, and so I'm gonna have to, you know, just be watching Netflix and chill by myself.
No, you know what single guys do on Valentine's Day, Peyton?
Can I say that?
No, well, I mean, I'll say it since you clearly don't get what I'm getting at. They go to Twin Peaks. You know, they all this week, they've got Sweethearts Week. So you can swing by your local Twin Peaks, go to twinpeaksrestaurant.com, find your nearest location, Peyton.
There you go. I might have to make my way up there. A few locations around here.
Yeah, plenty of them. Five different counties.
We'll go.
Love the ice chunks that float in that beer. They're not messing around when they talk about that cold beer.
That is a legit 29-degree beer.
It is, man. It is.
All right, Eric, we'll go one more story here on the payload every Thursday at this time. Starbucks are at it again. A couple weeks ago, we talked about on this very show that Starbucks was changing their policy, that doesn't allow people to use their bathrooms without actually ordering something, a coffee or some, you know, some food item. This time they're forcing their employees to write messages on customers' cups before giving you the coffee. And this isn't just like a, you know, have a good day, you know, good morning. I mean, they're writing like jokes and song lyrics. They're putting winky faces. Now, Eric, I mean, if you came home with Starbucks cup and there's a winky face on your cup, you know, what is your wife doing to you?
I mean, how many people are going to get away with that one? Walk in the house with the winky face cup? I mean, ultimately, it's not my fault. You know, honestly, you should just be proud, honey, that your man still got the ability to pull a winky face out of a barista.
That's right. Jeez, that sounds like a bad euphemism. What are you writing on the cup if you're a Starbucks barista? Like, we don't have Chris Strong here anymore. He went to go join the resistance. But before that, like, what would you have written on your Starbucks cup if they're mandating you have to put something on there? Are you just going to have a go-to line or like a go-to like doodle you're going
to
draw?
I would think I would want to have something just ready to rock.
Like, just have a great day. Like, would you be boring like that or would you have like a bit? I would misspell whatever my thing was. Like, I would have like just a really awful misspelling on it.
Okay, that's not a bad one. I like that.
I'd probably do the pacer test thing, write out the entire, you know, the pacer test is blah, 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 blah. Have you guys heard of that?
From like elementary school?
Yeah, the pacer test
thing. A little sound and you have to run to the other side of the court?
You know, you write the entire lyric, the entire dialogue of the pacer test all over the cup.
I have no idea what that is.
That's taxing. You never did a pacer. Oh, whoa.
I was homeschooled.
That's right.
And my teacher's gone.
Did you guys not have like a PE portion of class at home? Like,
no, that was just called the backyard. That was like, yeah, go outside. I'm sick of you.
Dude, I used to take the pacer test very seriously.
I was dialed.
Oh my goodness.
Like, so competitive.
I'm gonna medal in this. I'm at least get in top three.
Yeah, the PE teacher says your foot wasn't over the line. I go, no, it was. It was over the
check
line.
Check the tape.
Yeah, check the tape.
Carol. Where'd you finish spot? Where were you in the pacer test?
That's not my nickname.
His football coach called him Spot because he's got a blonde spot on the back of his head. So yeah, he wouldn't call him by his name.
Football coach was cool, man.
Spot.
It's like, what do you got helmets on, man? You can't see this.
I can't imagine you played football throughout your entire high school. Right. Like, at what point did you quit?
I was one and done. I was seventh grade. Okay. I was starter on B team. Okay. There were three teams, ABC. I was starter, offense and defense. And I was like, this is too much, you know, because practice in eighth grade then was in the afternoon. You know, yeah, August, September, it's hot. So I don't want to do that. And I was like, if I'm not quarterback, I don't want to play this game.
He couldn't shower with those cutters. That was the biggest thing.
Right guard? They had you at right guard?
Yeah, I was offensive guard, tackle, and then defensive edge.
Nice, dude. All right, there it is, the payload. 10 out of 10. You hit it out of the park. Nice work, Peyton. Here we are on a Thirsty Thursday. Sean and RJ back next week. We have the Choppy Senior funeral coming up later today that Bobby will be present for. I don't think Peyton is going to it because Peyton doesn't have the same type of respect level, I guess. Yeah. Or was he not on the invite list? I don't know.
Can't write down break times for Choppy when Sean's out, doesn't go to his dad's funeral.
All right, well, let's go ahead and crank open a nice little morning rim sesh here. The Mavs get the victory last night, and did you see what local DFW coffee shops are trying to do to distance themselves from the Luka madness? That's next year in the Nation.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.